welcome to the best of Drew and Mike. And being December, Zot Ford is celebrating their Built for the Holiday sales event, during which you pay what they pay. In other words, you don't have to be an employee to get an employee discount on select vehicles. Lease an 18 Ford Escape as low as $123 a month. No plan, no problem. Or lease a new 18 Ford F-150 Super Cab 4x4 as low as $144 a month. No plan, no problem. Don't delay. Zot Ford Built for the Holiday sales event will be finished too when the holidays are over. And while you're there, don't forget to give Maz a nice hug.
Or a big wet kiss.
Maybe not.
As long as it's consensual.
Okay, there you go. Retirement is fast approaching for many of us, but deciding exactly when to retire can be daunting. You don't have to do it alone. Luke Nowacki can help you determine if you can say, I can do that, like Derek, or I don't know how to do it, like Derek. For instance, it's not ideal to have to work 10 hours a day through retirement. Call Luke today at 248-663-4748 for a complimentary consultation to discuss your retirement plans, regardless of where you are in the process. This is something you don't want to wait till the last minute for. Call Luke Nowacki, 248-663-4748. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, and services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated. Somebody made a huge mistake and put a 96-year-old in our only over 100 phone book. Fortunately, I guess they have the year of birth wrong or something. It should be 1920, and they have him born in 1915. He's actually 96 years old. He's a Taylor Swift fan. Wow. And Taylor Swift performed for this World War II vet on Christmas Day.
Oh.
Yeah.
So now she's dating him. They're going to break up, and she's going to write another song about him.
That'd be great. Wouldn't that be wild?
And he had his first boner in, what, 55 years.
We want to get a concert review from this dude. His name is...
He's probably a different
Taylor
guy.
Swift music. What's the breakup song named?
Never Ever Getting Back Together.
Never
Blank
back together.
Spaces.
Can you crank that for us, Jay?
Oh, shit. I already had one up.
Never.
What one did you have up?
Oh, Shake It Off.
Shake It Off.
Shake It Off was actually the song that
that's all right.
performed live in...
Oh, we need to hear it then.
In the living room.
She only did one song?
The day after Christmas.
Oh. You mean Boxing Day.
Boxing Day, yes.
His name is Curtis...
Cyrus Porter.
Cyrus Porter.
That sounds like a 96-year-old's name, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello, ma'am. This is Drew and Mark. We're calling from our internet radio show. We're trying to reach Cyrus.
Oh!
Hey.
Yes, sir.
Oh.
Popo.
Hello.
Oh, Cyrus?
Popo.
Oh,
it's for you.
Oh, great.
Oh, Papa.
I thought I heard a click.
Popo.
You got it. Popo.
Oh.
Popo.
Yeah, well, he's not there, is he? Whoever it is.
Cyrus, you there?
Hi, Popo.
Who is this?
This is Drew and Mark. We're calling from our internet radio show here. And
well, let me get on the phone.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, don't be listening. He wants to really unleash. Cyrus.
Let's talk about that boner.
Who's this? Who's calling?
Okay, yeah, now I got a different phone.
There we go. Yeah, you don't want that. You don't want that lady listening for sure. Cyrus, we want to hear all about this Taylor Swift concert you got on Christmas Day.
Who's that? Who's this?
It's Drew and Mark. We're calling from our radio show. And we're live. And we were
where
just,
are you at, though? Where are you at?
Oh, we're in Michigan. We're in the Detroit area. And we're Detroit market, big market. And people are talking about this Christmas Day concert that Taylor Swift put on just for you.
Yeah.
Now, are you really a Taylor Swift fan? Is that true?
And what?
Are you really a Taylor Swift fan?
Yeah, I guess I've been to her concerts. I'm 96 years old. Don't hurt to go, does it?
Really?
Wow, you went to two concerts?
I went to Memphis, St. Louis, yeah.
Now, most people your age, like my dad is 96, and he wouldn't want to fight the crowd. He wouldn't want to walk up the stairs. You really didn't have any problem with all that stuff?
No.
Where'd you sit?
In the bleachers like everybody else, but young people.
Wait, were you on the main floor?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Were you standing up, rocking out, and dancing and stuff?
No.
Okay.
What's your favorite Taylor Swift song?
I've been sometime, but she didn't even know I was even there.
Oh, I just meant if you were really getting down, if you were getting into the music and dancing during the concert. Apparently not.
Yeah.
That's okay.
I know.
That's all right.
Okay. How surprised were you when Taylor showed up?
Oh, well, what, where? Your home?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, it's just a surprise. I didn't know anything about it. Just like, well, it's just a miracle.
Works. Yeah, that is.
Didn't know anything about it. Well, it's got to be her because she's here singing.
Yeah, you didn't think it was like an imposter or a lookalike?
Yeah, right. That's what, no.
Until she was singing, he didn't buy it. I appreciate that. I think that's good to be a little skeptical because it could have been a lookalike, maybe, who can't sing for squat.
Who?
It could have been a lookalike, but you checked her out. Now, what song?
Oh, Well, I seen her. After I saw her face and everything, I knew who she was.
And what songs did she play for you?
What song was it, Karen? Shake It Off.
Shake It Off.
She only played one song?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you complain and say she should have played more music?
I mean, she's there after all.
You're kind of pissed.
No. She did good. She did good. And it didn't stay too long, so.
Did she didn't stay while you guys opened presents?
No. She wasn't here on Christmas Day.
Well, but, I know.
She's here the next day. It's Christmas.
Yeah, well, it just would have been nice if she could have played it.
Oh, she didn't play for that. No.
Now, is that one of your is that one of your favorite songs of hers?
No. She ain't no special favorite. She's special, all right, but what makes she so special? Because she knew how to put shows on.
Oh, I agree. No, she's very special.
She knew how to put them on. She had stuff to put them on with.
What is your favorite song?
I ain't got one no special. She just. I don't mind her saying, but I got other people that like saying just about as well as I do her in a way.
Cyrus, I got to tell you, I know very few people who are over 70 years old who even know who Taylor Swift is. How did you get to be such a big Taylor Swift fan?
I don't know. I can't answer that.
I mean, where did you hear her music? On the radio?
Oh, yeah, well. Yeah, I heard that. Sure, I do listen to her all the time. Every time I got records of her too. I got them playing on my truck.
Oh, you got? Do you have CDs? Or?
CDs.
You drive? That's the better question. You have a driver's license?
Who?
Do you have a driver's license?
Sure, I got a driver's license.
Really?
Well, if I drove to the show.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I don't have that license.
How is your driving? Have you had any problems with the driving stuff?
I don't guess so.
No? Okay.
I saw that picture where you gave her a hug. Was that a real long hug?
Where'd you see that at?
on Twitter.
On Twitter. Okay, yeah.
That's a good long hug.
Yeah. I got a little rouge on lipstick on my face.
Anywhere else?
No, it was all right. I just thought it was all right.
I noticed.
You know, I still don't know how she got here or anything about it at all. She was just here, and that's all I know.
Sounds like she's got a thing for you.
Yeah.
Huh?
Sounds like she's got a thing for you. She likes older men.
Well, she might just. I guess she did it all on her own. I guess she did. I don't know.
Wow.
Cyrus, you got to be careful because she likes to write songs about all the guys she meets and breaks up with.
I don't think so.
What?
Yeah.
You don't know. The next song could be Blowing Dust. I don't know.
Yeah.
Dumping Cyrus.
Well,
you never know.
Well, I don't know much more about it.
No, we had to go anyway before you said that anyway, but that's really cool that happened.
I see you have a Taylor Swift calendar hanging up in the kitchen.
When?
Say what now? Anyway?
Something about
a kitchen.
Yeah, isn't there a Taylor Swift calendar hanging up by the TV?
No, I got in the kitchen. Who told you that?
I'm looking at the Twitter picture. We're giving her a hug. There's
There's
a Taylor Swift calendar hanging up. And the TV's on, too. I love that you left the TV on while Taylor Swift visited. That's awesome.
Where'd you see that?
On Robert Fry's Twitter. Do you know who Robert Fry is?
I know Robert Fry. Yeah. That's who that is.
Yeah, you're his popo. Yeah, you're his popo.
Robert Christopher.
Saw that on Robert.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, I see what you did now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got it.
I like that calendar.
I
like the calendar that's hanging up in that house.
Oh, yeah. I got the calendar. I got the calendar.
Thank you.
My wife's sister gave her this calendar.
Hey, Cyrus, we really had to go a long time ago before you mentioned something about going, but I did want to ask you one more thing. How pretty is Taylor Swift in person? Because she looks very nice on television and all that, but is she really hot in person?
Well, she looks good enough to me.
Yeah. You could have, you could handle that.
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you.
All right,
you.
No, we have
you,
to go.
Yeah, we had to go anyway. Long time
thank
ago.
Thank you for calling. I just don't know.
Yeah, thank you for giving us exactly the amount of time
just
we wanted.
It's a miracle, and I'm just proud of it.
That's excellent. Okay. Well, Merry Christmas, Robert, or Cyrus.
Thank you for the chat.
You bet, Cyrus.
Okay, we'll see
you. Thank
bye-bye.
You.
We stayed bye welcome, bye. But we're still happy we talked
that's
to you.
I love awesome. That we trailed off. I never think I'm going to come on. I don't want to.
Don't you love that they left the TV on while she visited?
Well, that would so happen if she came to my house. All three TVs would be on. No, all four TVs would be on. The only reason the basement TV is ever off is because you guys turn it off. Have you ever come to my house when the TVs aren't all on?
No.
Living room TV, always on.
I've driven by your house and the TV's on. Like,
kitchen
when I'm
TV,
not coming here, I'm driven by. That's your home.
Always on. Always. Because I think it's pointless to turn it off. Why turn it off and turn it on again?
Well,
and it's like having a shovel on the porch.
This is electricity.
How much is it using? I mean,
although maybe that's the deterrent. It's a deterrent for anybody to think you know, nobody's home. It's your security system.
True. Yeah, between the dogs and the TVs.
Until they monitor the house and realize that they're always on. Hey, it's still a holiday season where people and family come together and wishes come true. It's Wyatt Hoop McInerney Starlink, and they're still celebrating the season by hosting the annual Lincoln Wishlist sales event at Star. The amazing prices will make America's premier luxury car feel like it's their gift to you. They have a great lineup of SUVs, including the sporty MKC, the new option-laden Nautilus, and the Lincoln Navigator, the 2018 North American Truck of the Year. Plus, they have the popular MKZ sedan and the legendary Lincoln Continental. Tis the season where Detroit's most accommodating and knowledgeable sales team will connect you to the car of your dreams, including our very own Jimmy D. Give him a phone call at 855-567-STAR, or you can email him at jimmyd@starlincoln.com. He'll answer all your questions. Be a part of the Lincoln legend. Come see Star's beautifully remodeled showroom. It's the perfect environment to shop, test drive, and then take home the Star of American luxury cars. It's the Lincoln Wishlist Sales Event. It runs right now through January 2nd at Star Lincoln at 12 and Telegraph in Southfield.
Facing divorce or custody issues, you need Adam, the American Divorce Association for Men. Adam, protecting men's rights in divorce and custody matters for nearly 30 years. Visit them on the web, read some of the reviews from satisfied clients. People call them professional, accessible, responsive attorneys. They put me at ease and cared about my case. They saved me from losing everything I had worked for. Call Adam. Let them educate and guide you through this difficult process. Call Adam, 248-356-2326. That's 248-356-ADAM or on the web at adamdivorcelaw.com.
1986, Europe was number one in the UK charts with The Final Countdown. Mark, where's the best version you've ever heard of
cover,
that?
The cover that yes. group did?
The best.
I was there that day. It's one of those shows that everybody pretends they were at. Because it was such a great live performance.
Yeah, people lie about it.
Yeah. I mean, there were, probably 300,000 people at that show. It was so awesome.
Can you find it?
I think Jay's pulling it up, right?
Oh, cool. Roy Orbison died.
That's a good cut. Brandon is a good impersonation of the lead singer. I haven't seen that video in ages.
It's a classic.
I'm going to lose my shit when I see it, though.
Roy Orbison died of a heart attack on this day in 1988 at the age of 52, right in the middle of the Wilbury success, too. Beatles Live at the BBC released on this day in 1994, and Elvis Costello married Diana Krall on this day in 2003. And we've got it all cleared out so we can fully appreciate the final countdown. I just love the organ, whatever that is. It's a synth, I guess.
Nobody there.
It's a five piece too. I didn't realize that. There's no one at this show.
We're leaving together. And maybe we come back.
Yeah.
It's the final countdown.
people.
I think no one wants to be too close because they'll hear it.
4.7 million views.
Well, in the very beginning, you'd see like a three-year-old.
4.7 million views.
Should be way more. Hey, Jay, will you speed forward to see if anybody ever pops in frame?
Search under worst cover ever. The final countdown. Yeah, four lights. Oh, somebody walked by. There is someone at the show.
Yeah, me.
He was facing the other way.
Oh, whoa.
Well, I'm kind of intrigued by the, speaking of bad covers, the worst Eye of the Tiger cover in history, and also the worst Pink Floyd cover ever.
Let's
worst
hear
band
it.
Ever butchers Pink Floyd and worst Eye of the Tiger cover.
Listen to that solo. Wait.
Ever gotten this far?
How is it that these guys are all at the same level of their development exactly?
The worst part is they're obviously performing at some event, right? It's a real stage with lights. So who hired them?
Their mom.
Mom, I want to play at the show.
Mom, we don't have any gigs.
Only if you let your brothers play with you.
Huh? Countdown!
Doesn't have much stage presence.
That's awesome.
Countdown! Countdown! Final countdown!
I don't think the Eye of the Tiger one is going to be as bad as this.
Well, it's hard to beat
that. Or the worst Pink Floyd. They'll still have some musical talent.
Oh, really? You want to bet?
I want to hear them. I'm dying. I mean, the fact that they have the same description, they got to be bad.
So far, so good.
Who would cover Eye of the Tiger anyway? Isn't that a horrible song to play? Somebody's going, Eye of the Tiger's the coolest song. I can't wait till we can play that.
You sticking by it? Yeah. Survive.
So many times it happens too fast. You change your passion for glory. Don't lose grip on the dreams of the past. You must fight just to
keep
alive. It's the Eye of the Tiger.
Oh! Yeah!
Oh, man, I stand corrected.
Face to face.
Is this like spoken word, Eye of the Tiger?
This is like a high school talent show.
I love the guy just doing the strums for the guitar.
Hey, Jay, will you pull up the Iron Man cover, worst Iron Man cover?
Oh, the
Tiger.
You can hear the people talking about how bad it is.
Oh, I thought he was done.
The guitar player's got potential.
Crowd's going crazy.
Okay, the guitar player has a beard. The guitar player's like probably 22, 23
really?
Years old.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
and he's in this
kids.
Fucking band.
Well, he's living the dream.
Well, the other players look younger.
This is Iron Man.
This is a school talent show, it looks like, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think the last one was high school. This one looks middle school.
So far, so good.
These kids are like 9 or 10 years old. This could be worse.
Yeah!
I'm not sure about the drummer. What is the boombox? Is that recording this for posterity?
Hopefully.
It's starting to collide a little bit. Where's the singer? You can come bopping out? Maybe it's just an instrumental? Oh, a fill! Nice fill!
That's sweet.
The guy on the right playing guitar has got shorts, a t-shirt, gym shoes, and black socks on with his gym shoes.
Yeah,
but not to be cool, because I don't think he had any clean white ones.
Oh, he rocks hard.
I don't think the drummer's keeping very good time. Call me crazy.
Sweet.
Is that kit mic'd properly? I mean, does it just sound like drumsticks clanging on metal?
Oh, God.
Doesn't matter. These kids are still getting chicks.
The crowd loves them. Wait, there's another worst cover ever of the Final Countdown?
What?
It can't be worse than what we saw, can it?
Well, they're just mocking the art form now. The art form of bad covers.
That's not the same one, is it,
Joe?
Oh,
they're good!
Of the group Europe, so you can hear how much they sound like Europe. The lead singer, there's two chicks in the band. The lead singer is like a chick that's about 6'3".
Hot.
But I think she's like maybe a freshman in high school.
Yeah.
No drums in this one. No drums.
Oh, boy.
He's playing the synth notes or the organ notes on a guitar.
Yeah.
Okay, where in the song are we now? Anybody? Want to venture a guess?
People are clapping.
Hopefully the
it's
end.
Over.
The end?
Song's over.
Oh, come on. Read the room and just get off the stage. We live on together. Oh, boy. Still
it's fine. Jokers. And
maybe we'll 2.1 million hits. What is that chick playing on the guitar right now? Final countdown.
Honestly, what is it about that song that makes it perfect for bad covers?
Good question. I don't know.
Hope you can celebrate the holidays with Zot Chrysler Jeep and Zot Dodge Ram's Big Finish event, as they want to pass on the most significant savings of the year to you, our loyal listeners. The Big Finish event, you can lease the truck of your dreams, the all-new 19 Ram Bighorn Super Crew 4x4, completely loaded for $169 a month. If Jeeps are your thing, how about a 19 Jeep Cherokee Limited at $149 a month? And for the first time ever, Zot Chrysler Jeep will drop an additional $1,000 off the very best deal you can find on a brand-new 18 Jeep Wrangler. Nobody discounts Jeep Wranglers, but during Zot Chrysler's Jeep Big Finish, they do. See details in their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. It's been a great first year for the Aldo Eye Center Drew and Mike podcast partnership, as many of you have taken advantage of Dr. Aldo's free comprehensive evaluation and then decided on either custom CATS LASIK, the world's most advanced. Many people 50-plus have gotten the multifocal implants that give you precise near and far vision for life, and others have opted to stick with the old technology and get great frames and lenses from Dr. Aldo's classy new optical department. Now, please, if you have a Flexer Health savings account that has to be used by the end of the month, get the free evaluation. Put your remaining 2018 funds as a down payment to get surgery when you're ready. Plenty of ways to save, see better, and enjoy a better lifestyle without the hassle of glasses and contacts. Call 1-800-398-EYES, 1-800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com.
God, I'm so, I have trepidation. I have many things I'm interested in today, and I can't decide what to do. The SNL book was great.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's a good place to start, because that's a no-lose. SNL, I mean, everybody watches SNL. I thought the stories were really good. You know what? I went back, and I was reading about the 80s and the whole Eddie Murray thing. And
Murphy?
Yeah, Eddie, Eddie Murray. Eddie Murphy.
The switch-hitting sketch comic?
Yes. Switch-hitting, power-hitting sketch comic, who could also kick. I'd forgotten he did Trading Places while he was on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, it's one of my all-time favorite comedy movies.
So he's getting these giant checks, like literally $1 million check was brought to him at SNL.
Wow.
And he's showing it around to people while he's working there for like $110,000 or something.
Well, that's going to make the rest of the cast feel great.
Yeah, of course. Except, well, he was the whole show, though. I mean, he saved the show.
Well, don't sell Piscopo short.
Yeah, Piscopo. There's some funny stuff in there about Joe.
He, by the way, is thinking about running for governor of New Jersey.
Oh, yeah, I heard that. You know what I love about Piscopo is when he's doing Sinatra, he's so intense about how Sinatra's portrayed because he's his idol. And there's one scene where Sinatra's at a deli, and he's like, no, Frank, we never beat a deli. and they end up sort of compromising by having Sinatra arrive in a limo.
Oh, wow. It's
I think it's
funny.
A video they're making. Yeah, I actually thought it made a little sense.
Yeah.
But Sinatra sees the impersonation finally, and I guess he's with some comedian, says, how is this guy crazy enough to do Sinatra? And what do you think, Captain? Sinatra looks at me and says, he's pretty good, the little prick. And then when Joe met him, he said, hey, Joe, baby, come here. I felt so comfortable. I said, can I call you Frank? He said, no. He was great, you know? He was just a wonderful guy. That sounds very Frank.
Frank, yeah. That's really neat.
But that show, it sounds like Saturday Night Live would have died if Eddie Murphy had not come along. Yeah.
Well, no Lorne then, right?
No, Lorne was gone. Actually, Olmeyer was running.
80 to 85, yeah.
I mean, that one chick ran it when Lorne left, and just it was a total disaster. In fact, I think it was during her season that somebody said, you got to bring in this black guy as a featured player, Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, no, oh no, no, as a full player, as a full player. She said, no, he's not ready. And so then she ends up saying, I'll bring him on as a feature player. And of course, she takes credit for bringing him on now, even though she refused to make him a full player. But as soon as Eddie became a full player, he was, I mean, he was the only reason people were watching the show, except for maybe Piscopo. And then Eddie was only there maybe 3 years. 4 years? Not that long. But the whole, what's his face? Billy Crystal comes along and some of those people. But you know what I never knew? And I read a lot of the book, but I didn't read the whole thing when we did the interview originally. I kind of missed the Janine Garofalo thing.
Oh.
Man,
her
did
limited
people
time on
hate
there?
Her.
Wow, are you surprised?
Not really.
Kind of bitchy.
But
forceful.
We'll get to that in a second. It's funny. I thought Al Sharpton was told, yeah, Paris Hilton's going to be a late addition, I guess, to something he was in. And he says, who's Paris Hilton? He didn't know who Paris Hilton was. And
for real?
Paris Hilton didn't know who Al Sharpton was. Because she said, why don't you do something with Al Sharpton? Who's Al Sharpton?
Yeah, I don't think those two would cross paths much.
No.
Yeah, but still, you would think you would know who the other person is.
Absolutely. Being in New York.
Yeah.
And then, this is funny, Howard this morning, they were playing, I was listening to the rerun channel, they were playing
Seth Meyers,
yeah, in 2014 when he was getting ready to his talk show, and he said that when Paris Hilton was on, he and Tina Fey had a bet that she wouldn't ask one personal question of anyone. Oh. Great bet, I thought.
She wouldn't answer.
She wouldn't ask. No, she would not ask. You know, she would take no interest in anyone there.
Oh, okay.
Other than herself.
Okay, so Paris wouldn't be personable. Okay.
Right. And so I think Tina lost the bet because she asked Maya Rudolph if she was Italian.
What?
That was the only thing she asked of anyone.
Why would... Okay.
I know.
Oh, what an idiot.
I know. It's crazy.
I don't think there's much depth to Paris Hilton.
No, it doesn't sound like it.
There was a... Did you read the part about... Remember in 2014, the hullabaloo online about not having enough minority actresses?
Oh, yeah.
That part's really interesting, but the way they handled it, which I always... That's what I find interesting about SNL, the way they handle things.
Yeah.
And they have...
Getting Kerry Washington on?
Yeah, the sketch where she played Oprah and Michelle. She played all the black characters, which they had actually done before when they only had two female cast members. But what's funny about that, they asked Sharpton to come on. And were you surprised the things he bent over backwards to do? Because he was supposed to preach Sunday morning.
Yeah, he drove for 8 hours overnight just to be on SNL because he got to stay live from New York at Saturday night.
Yeah.
He was supposed to preach in Richmond, Virginia on Sunday morning, and he basically did all of it.
It's a wild story. But then all I could think of is Sharpton couldn't just fly to Richmond then.
I said the exact same thing. I thought he'd have a private plane.
Yeah, or Lorne would get him a private plane to fly to Richmond.
Yeah, because they got almost anything they wanted. I thought reading about hosts, you know, good hosts, bad hosts, and most of them seem pretty good generally. Horatio Sanz was talking about Lindsay Lohan and that she was pretty good, but then said Britney Spears was terrible. She couldn't make a decision without seven people chiming in. She had a bunch of people with her.
Yeah.
What misery. They talk about people who bring writers too.
Really?
How that doesn't work.
Who brings writers in?
You know, Jerry Seinfeld did, but they said he was like the only one that brought writers who actually helped the person.
Huh.
The rest of them just got mucked up because you got these ideas being formed from these SNL people and these writers trying to, you know, top them. And then, bad hosts. Bill Hader couldn't stand Bieber.
Yeah.
He sounded like just a useless guest. They thought he would bring nothing to the party, and he brought nothing to the party.
Yeah, and I think Kate McKinnon talks later, too, about that, because she impersonated Bieber, and Bieber hated the impersonation, and it's just a parody of him. What a baby.
I know. I'm really convinced he's an absolute zero,
asshole.
And it blows my mind. I mean, I just don't think he has any talent. Maybe there's something about his music that I don't get. I don't hear it, though.
Somebody likes it apparently, but outside of that, he's a total.
Well, isn't it just 14-year-old girls though? I mean, has he really moved on to an older demographic? I know he's trying to. He gets angry when he wants to talk to the audience and they keep screaming.
I would think it's the majority of young women. Yeah,
storms off stage. That was an interesting story about Jimmy Fallon leaving after he had 5 years, I guess, because Leno had just said. Or they had just signed Lemon of 5 more years, and they said, okay, and then Conan takes over in 5 years. So Lauren said, do you want to take The Late Show? He says, no, I want to make movies. So he makes those bad movies.
Yeah, Taxi and Fever Pitch, I think.
Yeah, Fever Pitch is one of them. I was just on yesterday, actually, with Drew Barrymore. Pretty bad. Just pathetic.
Yeah.
Really bad.
Romantic comedy.
I can't imagine why she made that movie. Anyway.
Her production team.
After 5 years, NBC says, Jimmy Fallon is a loser. His movies are bombs. We don't want Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
And Lauren basically said, well, I'm producing it, and if you don't want me involved, if you want me involved, it's got to be Jimmy Fallon.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he basically stood up for him, but he almost blew that whole thing.
It's interesting, too. He, when the whole Conan Jay thing happened, he got to take over the Tonight Show by moving Jimmy up and then getting Seth on. So he has all of late night right now.
Yeah. No, he's
on NBC.
He is so influential in terms of late night TV and comedy more than ever now. The Sandberg and Hader thing is just the coolest story when those guys are both on the elevator. They're going up to audition, and Andy Sandberg has a big box of props, and Bill Hader doesn't have any. And Bill's like, fuck, look at all the props that guy. I should have brought props. And Sandberg's like, that guy doesn't need any props. He must be incredible. Just how insecure all these people are.
Yeah, there's
finally make it.
I don't know if you read this one part, and I can't remember exactly who it was, but they would show up and basically did like three things, and they're like, no thanks, but they wanted him to come back.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, what do I need to do different? Like, look, you need
X amount of impersonations, original characters. So they just piled in like 20 of them in 5 minutes. I can't remember exactly who that was.
There were all kinds of different stories about auditions, but basically they just, it just seems like it takes a while to get hired.
Mm-hmm.
But once they're on you and somebody likes you, then it's pretty much seems like it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But that waiting is insane. And who is it? I think Parnell, he was just about to get hired. In fact, they told him, yeah, you're going to be a player. And although he wasn't really officially told, and then the writer's struck hit.
Yeah.
And then when the strike ended, he didn't get the job right away. He had to audition again.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I love the story about TV Funhouse. Smigel, Smigel talks a lot
dishes,
in this book.
Yeah. Dishes yeah. big. So does James Downey, who's been a writer there forever.
Who are two guys, actually, who I'd like to hear a lot from. I mean, I was glad they talked. Because they're, I don't know, they're just very, I would expect them to be pretty objective.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, TV Funhouse never really had problems getting on, but he did one about profiling that.
Oh, yeah. This is a great story.
Let's see. It was a live action one that was meant to be about racism and profiling, an airline safety video with multilingual narration. And whenever you heard a different language, it would cut to people that nationality. First, typical white Americans, then a Latino family, a Japanese family, all being instructed about seatbelts, overhead compartments. Then it cuts to an Arab man, and there says in Arabic, "During the flight, please do not blow up the plane. The United States is actually a humanitarian nation, is rooted in the concept of freedom," and so on. So standards people freaked out, and Lawrence said, no, it's defendable. We can withstand this. It's not bad. He ran it at dress rehearsal, got big laughs, but standards pushed back hard, so Lawrence decided to keep fighting it.
Brilliant move.
Yeah, the next week, I don't know, I didn't think this was so brilliant. I thought this was Lauren basically saying he didn't know how to tell Smigel no. I felt that way.
No, but I thought it was his way of trying to get around standards. I mean,
well, I think
he basically has a no, he's trying to get a yes.
I don't, well, here's what he did. He said, Obama's coming in next week. He was going to do something in the open, just a cameo kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And he hadn't been president yet. And he says, I'm going to show it to Obama. And if he doesn't have a problem with it, then it airs. How can they possibly... You know, how can they possibly turn down? But how could Obama be the one to say it's okay? Because then if they say, well, Obama said it was, I mean, how does he want, why would he get in the middle of that shit?
Well, unless he didn't know.
Well,
that he was being pitted against him.
But I think he asked him, you know, let's see what Obama said. If I don't think it's okay, man. I thought it was a brilliant idea. So why would Obama ever give this his blessing? What if we're going to hate? I showed it to Obama, this is what Lauren said, because if he had any discomfort with it, I didn't want it to appear. He said, it's funny, but no, I don't think so. I just wouldn't expect Obama to be an edgy guy about comedy. So, yeah, I don't know.
I think maybe
he could have said yes on the right day.
It seems like Lorne Michaels liked Obama, especially because of that one story about Hillary.
Oh,
I was telling you about.
Did
you come across that story?
I did. Yeah, where Hillary was asked to come on and then canceled.
Yeah, after they had scheduled it, and Obama filled the slot pretty easily.
Yeah.
Pretty agreeable, too.
Daryl Hammond was a weird story. He thinks his work was terrible. He can't watch reruns of the show.
Well, he's really bummed, too. That's at a different part of the book. He's really bummed because they put out a... best, like, that's the epitome for SNL, is to put out a best of DVD.
Yeah.
And they put out a best of DVD of Daryl Hammond, but they didn't run anything by him.
Right.
So he hates everything that's on there, and it's the worst selling one of all time, and he's like really bummed out about that.
I would kind of expect that not to be a big seller. I don't think of Daryl Hammond with, I just think he's a good impersonation guy.
Yeah. From Clinton to
Ted Koppel,
Chris Matthews.
There's so much Bill Hader in here, which I love because I love Bill Hader.
He's the best.
And he seems like such a nice guy, too.
Do you remember when we had him on?
Yeah.
And, like, everything was, oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
It was like, thanks.
I thought Jimmy Fallon was always like that, too. Jimmy Fallon, remember we told him that we love the Leatherman thing?
Yeah.
And he couldn't believe it. He's like, really? You guys like that? Nobody liked that.
And then 2 weeks later, there was a new one. that's an example of when someone did listen to the show.
Yeah, I actually think he was really excited.
Oh, I believe
it was genuine.
Yeah.
Bill Hader was talking about Stefan, which they did 17 times. I didn't realize they did it that many times. I mean, as much I liked it, but them sneaking in stuff to make him laugh.
Yeah, John Mulaney.
Yeah,
who's a very funny stand-up.
Well, yeah, he says a lot of funny things in the book too. I couldn't believe this Betty White show was so big.
I know.
What the Betty? The Betty White Show was the biggest since 2008. How can that be?
I don't know.
It's got to be a fluke.
Can you name one sketch?
No.
Or one funny thing that happened while she was on?
Absolutely not.
Of course not. The other thing about that Stefan is how it originally just started as a regular sketch.
Uh-huh.
He played the brother of Ben Affleck.
Oh, right,
and if you watch the sketch, it gets like zero response from the crowd. But it's kind of, you can see where the seeds of Stefan were. And then they realized, oh, this guy is carrying the whole sketch. We don't need three other people, so let's just put him on update. Like, and you can watch that. I just watched that sketch again. It's kind of funny, but it's not nearly as funny as the update pieces were.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. Some people apparently just loved it because eventually when they would say, you know, here to talk about nightclubs, the crowd would just erupt.
Yeah.
You know, people seem to really like it. Jeanine Garofalo, I don't even know if I should read this. It just kind of pisses me off even reading it. She talks up a blue streak. For somebody who's on the show for, let's see, 6 months, 7 months, she has a ton to say.
Well, that right there says a lot.
The prevailing comedy tastes were certainly none that I could support or get behind. I do not think we were doing a quality show, and if you mentioned that, you found out you were an extremely unwelcome guest.
Well, of course.
Oh, really? People like people on their show saying how bad the show is?
Yeah.
What do you think, you idiot?
Yeah.
And none of that, you're on the show, you can make it better.
Sounds like a mutual parting.
You're a very welcome family member if you not wholeheartedly accept whatever the love of comedy is at the time. That's not true. They're very hard on themselves. They all are.
Mm-hmm.
They're all extremely critical. I can't believe how wrong she gets this. I had friends who were writers who had left. They said, you're not going to like it. They just felt it would be a place where I would not thrive, especially coming off Larry Sanders and Ben Stiller's, which are very progressive, intelligent, and collaborative programs. What a snob.
When was she on?
Larry Sanders?
No, when was she on SNL?
94 to 95.
I'm really surprised they would even hire her.
Yeah, you know what?
Because of that background, because she's pretty well known before she got to SNL then, if she did Larry Sanders and...
She was not on Larry Sanders that much. I mean, I barely remember on Larry Sanders. Maybe I'm crazy. I remember on Ben Stiller, but that show wasn't on very long. That show was on like two seasons, wasn't it? And I did. I kind of liked that show. I thought it was very up and down, uneven.
The Ben Stiller show?
Yeah.
I loved it. With Andy Dick?
I thought some of it was really funny, and I thought some of it was really flat. But that's true of most shows like that.
Yeah.
I still remember one sketch in particular where aliens had taken some of the male cast members on the ship and had anally probed them, written bitch and lipstick on their chest. Is that funny? Oh, God. I wanted to quit after the first week. I phoned my agent and said, this is not a good fit. There's something wrong here. For whatever reason, that season seemed to be the year of fag bashing, using the words bitch and whore in a sketch. Just my luck. I was actually surprised that chapter of Act Up never showed up to protest, honestly. What a fucking bitch.
Wow.
If you stepped out of line press-wise, you'd hear about it. Well, of course.
Well, yeah.
Why would they want somebody they're fucking paying saying shitty things in the media? You idiot! There was so much pressure not to complain. This is so funny. Lauren enjoys the house divided syndrome. I think he prefers the house divided. It sounds like like that from everyone else in his book.
I think Lauren likes the exact opposite.
Then Fred Wolf, who's a writer.
Yeah, I like Fred.
Says,
really good writer.
Jeanine Garofalo was awful on the show. She had, she had it completely and totally wrong. She's very insecure. She was my friend. I helped her get on the show. And she's a very insecure person. She's unwilling to sort of stand on her own body of work and ride on that talent. Instead, what she does is sort of tears everything down around her to make her feel better about what she's doing. And B, so she doesn't have to react, really actually attempt anything upon which she could fail. She was such an infection in that show in that she was going to press and going on about how it's a men's club. It's Saturday Night Lifeless. And that's just bullshit. It's an absolute total bullshit label. It happens that men are wildly more successful at Saturday Night Live at the time, but not by design.
It's crazy. You know, I was looking back at the cast that was on her year.
Uh-huh.
And she's not the only one that had previous success from other places. So Spade and Sandler were on there. Molly Shannon, Mike Myers, Kevin Nealon, Jay Moore.
Yeah.
That was his year there, which he wrote that really good book.
He had a horrible year.
Norm MacDonald, Michael McKean. So people knew McKean before.
Oh, big time.
Chris Elliott.
Spinal Tap.
Chris Elliott.
Yeah.
People knew Chris Elliott well before that.
He didn't have a very good time either. He was really one of the few.
Yeah.
and Mark McKinney, who was on Kids in the Hall before then. That's just a weird cast.
It's a big cast, too.
It's huge.
Janine Garofalo never spent an all-nighter. The writers and performers that went on to do very well never missed an all-nighter. Janine Garofalo never got with the writers and wrote sketches. She was dying to perform, would do anything she could do to get them on the air. What she did instead was glom onto the host and just tear the show apart for the whole week about how it's a boys' club. They don't let creativity flourish.
Wow.
And if they see certain initials on sketches, they won't laugh at them at read-through.
How destructive.
Paul Simon, who's a host, he talks about what a bitch she is. Janine Garofalo had no case. She wanted to be on the show. She came on. It was during one of the show's low points. She signed on for, you know, whatever, for the year, and she had a miserable time. She has to be released, and Lorne let her go. You know, she messed him up. In the middle of the season, he had to go replace her. She could have had some aesthetic disagreement with the show, which she did. I mean, no doubt about it. She vocalized it. She actually said it public. He didn't say in public anything about her. Nobody badmouthed her. Fred Wolf. I had this one sketch about five idiots who were working on oil rigs in North Dakota, and they're drilling a hole deep into the earth, and out of the hole pops a sort of subterranean human, some crazy alien. It's Janine Garofalo. And these five idiots see her come out of the hole, and she tells them that she lives in an underground kingdom, that they've been watching Earth's progress over millions of years, and they have all the answers to any question that they might have about life on Earth. She has 5 minutes until exposure to the air will kill her. Ask any question you'd like. When she first pops out of the hole, Chris Farley screams a really high-pitched scream. You know, they got 5 minutes.
Yeah.
The next thing out of Adam Sandler's mouth is he turns to Farley and says, "What the hell kind of scream was that? When you saw that fish lady pop out of the hole, you screamed like a girl." And they proceed to spend 1 minute of her last remaining time on Earth arguing over how he didn't scream like a woman, he screamed like a man, and back and forth.
And, those are all the questions, kind of like
pretty much
stump the staff.
The point of the sketch is that these guys were idiots and they were blowing their chance at great knowledge. Janine Garofalo raised hell with three or four people before I got wind of it, that it was being disrespectful to women and that it's a fault of a guy to scream like a girl, that because Farley screaming like a girl would bring chastisement. She said that meant that women, therefore, deserve to be chastised for the way they scream.
Holy cow.
How can
that's
this person...
Quite, that's quite a leap.
How can she be in comedy?
Yeah.
So then Janine Garofalo, I think she gets the last word. Let's see.
Sounds like that sketch is gone. I can't find it.
I was unusually embarrassed. My family did not like the show. My father felt his intelligence was being insulted. I was always embarrassed by that, too, at the time. Oh!
Wow.
So it runs in the family. We've got to take a break here to call Rich Meyer from the Upper Peninsula Bigfoot Sasquatch Research Organization. If you, if you're reading the Free Press,
can't we
27th?
Can we go over the Lions' 2017 schedule when we're done with that?
No, I don't care about their schedule.
I have the new schedule.
We don't care.
Okay. It's not the Pistons schedule. It's their
It's slightly higher on the register than the Pistons schedule. But
what do we got at half here before we say goodbye?
Did they just miss the field goal?
Yeah.
Who did? USC or Penn State? It's 27-21, I believe. Right? 27-21?
Yeah.
27-21 at the half.
Girly rush rate 885 yards this year.
885?
Yeah.
Okay. How many yards per carry?
They were ugly yards.
Let me look deeper into that.
I don't think he's a bust or anything.
3.2.
Wow.
Garbage.
Anyway, Rich Meyer is ahead of this UP Bigfoot Sasquatch research organization, and they believe Sasquatch is in the UP. And they're out there in the woods. It sounds like they're out there often enough that they actually run into each other because there's a way to signal for Sasquatch, which is by hitting trees with stone with sticks.
Really?
And apparently when they do it, they hear other people doing it, and apparently there are other people looking for Sasquatch.
Not the jerky?
Not Sasquatch.
Not the jerky?
No.
What's the jerky?
What's that commercial where they get Sasquatch?
Jack Links.
Jack Links. Jack Links.
That's what Sasquatch likes to eat?
That's what he likes to like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they... I think they're a little more serious in their research than that. Man.
Okay.
I don't think they go by commercial.
We'll ask them.
But Sasquatch has been all over the place.
Yeah, I didn't think he was in Michigan.
Well, Stan Johnson was in Oregon.
Pacific Northwest, yeah.
And he thought he was in the Pacific Northwest, and I think most people thought that. And then he's been in the Southeast. I mean, he's been sighted in Florida.
That's where he's called the Skunk Ape.
Yeah. But Sasquatch, reading up on him...
Yeah.
Apparently, the one thing that no one disagrees about Sasquatch is that he stinks.
Oh, yeah. Total slob.
He's got size 24 feet, I think.
Oh, you know what that means.
Well, yeah, of course.
Huge.
He's right, 9 to 12 feet tall.
Tom's already in his phone. He's bored of it.
Maz, what were you looking up on your phone? What were you looking up?
I was trying to go to the website you were talking about. But I won't. I won't touch my phone anymore when I'm with you guys.
Go ahead.
All right, I'm going to put it away.
Sasquatch.
Watch this.
Never going to see my phone again. My phone is gone.
Is that the most mad I've ever made you? Because I've made you really angry.
You know, I bust my balls.
I know.
My
that's why I said it.
No, because you look at your phone all the time.
That I'm not interested in. I go on my phone.
You do.
But what do you got? I do. But I'm looking up. But I'm looking up stories. I'm looking up stuff. I'm not talking to people.
But I think it's because you're usually bored with the subject matter.
No, I'm trying to find out more about it.
Okay.
Sorry, Tom.
Jeez. Rich Meyer. Oh, man, this is getting how old setting things on fire now.
How old is this guy that's running this thing?
I don't know how old Rich is.
I want to know what part of the UP he was from.
Hello.
Is this Rich?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Rich, it's Drew and Mark and Maz calling from the Drew and Mike podcast. How you doing?
Good.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you guys.
All right. How's the Sasquatch search going?
It's going. It's a little cold right now, but other than that, it's going good.
I got to wonder, I've heard about, we were just talking about this, Bigfoot always seems to be, we used to talk to a guy in Oregon who swore he was in the Pacific Northwest, then we heard he was in the Southeast, and I have heard, you know, the Great Lakes area mentioned for Bigfoot, but really more the other places. What makes you so certain, or what makes you think he's in the UP?
The UP is a perfect spot for anything to hide. We don't have the population that other parts of the state do.
Is he trying to hide? I mean, do we know that?
Yeah, he doesn't like cameras. Remember from Stan?
Is that true?
Mm-hmm. With the way the Bigfoots react around people, and as elusive as they are, and as long as it's been taking for anyone to get good, solid evidence, you have to assume that they don't like people that much.
But wait, you say the way they react to people. So have people actually come across them, but they didn't have a camera on them to say, you know, to document it?
Right. When you've got campers that have had small rocks thrown and tents pushed on,
what
a campsites Bigfoot raided in the middle of the night.
Bigfoot has been known to do stuff like that?
Yes.
So he's also a total ass.
He's a jerk.
Right?
Or he's threatened. He's threatened. He's threatened.
Right.
Just to throw Rich, what's, rocks.
What's your background? You know, I'm just curious because you've taken this on, so I assume you have some background in something related.
My background is actually totally unrelated to Bigfoot, other than as a kid, I grew up in the woods every weekend. Well, anytime we got a chance with my dad.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
I hunted and fished all over the state, everywhere from Saginaw all the way through the UP.
Did you study forestry or something like that?
No, I actually have a degree in climate control technology.
Oh, wow. That's close enough.
Interesting.
Now, how do you...
climate control.
How is the UPBSRO funded?
Everything's funded out of my pocket, pretty much. We are a completely volunteer organization.
Wow. And how much have you spent in the search for Bigfoot? Is it a significant amount of money?
Honestly, I would say I'm probably only into it around $1,000 or so in the 4 years I've been doing it. But I don't have any of the high-tech equipment yet.
How about the Jack Lynx jerky?
Oh, Tom.
The Jack Lynx jerky?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all just part of the food that you take on a regular camping trip.
There you go. You've seen those commercials. I'm taking it, right?
Yeah, we've seen them.
All right.
Do you think they were mocking Bigfoot, or did you find that funny?
I find it funny. You can't take yourself too seriously when you're doing this kind of research.
That's good to hear.
Now, usually when tracking an animal, you know, you look for leaves or branches that are bent. I mean, do you see anything like that, or have you come across his feces at all?
I haven't come across anything that I can say 100% is Bigfoot feces.
Hey, why?
Wait, 100%?
Right. I've come across
feces
tracks. We've come across feces, but not seeing who left it there, you can't tell whose it is.
How do you test that? I mean, you can't really do DNA.
DNA and feces?
But there's DNA. There, I mean, there's skin. But there's no...
Going to get somebody's feces for DNA.
You have no DNA makeup of Sasquatch to market with, so I don't know how you test to see if it's Sasquatch. Is it, like, by scent? I mean, because we know he stinks.
Right. If you were going to test it to see if it was Sasquatch, you would have to find the end that came out first. So you'd have to know how it dropped onto the ground.
Well, you just
so
test
they could
both
get
ends.
The epithelial... epithelial off of it to test it, but then it's going to come back as unknown
What does the first end have that the second end
doesn't? Yeah, wait. What does the first part of it have to do with?
Because it's going to, as it comes out, is when it's going to pull the epithelials from the skin off.
That's where the DNA is. I thought you meant like maybe because he's 8 feet tall, like it'd be like the splatter would be a greater, you know, dispersion amongst the site. But we don't know. We don't know if he like squats really low or goes from a tree or
he's
what.
He's a
have
biped.
You.
I mean,
yeah,
right.
He's a biped, correct?
Bigfoot is mostly biped, is how everyone has seen him.
I love
any,
that term.
Any of your account,
use it. I just wanted to say biped.
What part of the UP are you out, Rich?
I am in Hermansville, over between Escanaba and Iron Mountain.
That ring a bell, Tom?
Yeah.
Have you spent time there?
Oh, yeah. Hermansville's place up there.
Hermansville.
Yeah. Do you know Tom is? I mean, Iron Mountain's right there.
Do you know nobody from my high school is allowed to go to Iron Mountain? They banned us from the city of Iron Mountain.
Why?
When our high school beat them in high school basketball in 1991, they thought our fans were so rude that they wrote a letter and said, we're not invited to Iron Mountain ever.
Did you know that, Rich?
I hadn't heard that. What school was it that beat them?
Ann Arbor Gabriel Richard.
Okay.
You ever heard of those, you ever heard of those obnoxious pricks?
Back when Todd Lindemann was on their team.
Are they obnoxious too, Drew?
I have heard of them. I'm originally from Saginaw. I went to Swan Valley.
Well,
bring it.
Hey, Rich, getting back to Bigfoot, unless you guys want to go on.
Really.
I keep reading about how bad Bigfoot just stinks. I mean, apparently he is just so pungent, and it's horrifying. Why does Bigfoot stink so bad? I mean, there's a million animals out there, and I suppose they all can smell, but this guy just stinks.
Did any of you hunt at all?
Hunt?
No.
No, okay. not really. Not many hunters around here. Not in this room.
Unless
Jay does.
Most people that have hunted... Yeah, most people that have hunted have experienced coming across a bear in the woods.
Yeah.
And bears are very greasy. It's part of the way they're made. Bears have a smell to them.
Hmm. Yes.
So you would have to assume that a Bigfoot is going to have some type of grease or secretion on its skin to help with warmth.
Gross, like sebum.
Ugh. Yep. Bear so it would kick them out. It would then start to smell after a while.
Wow. Well, and now how do you, I was reading in the story in the Free Press, did you think it was a good story, by the way?
I did.
The big story?
It brought us a lot of attention recently.
Yeah, it seemed like a pretty fair story. Anyway, they were talking about what do you do to roust Bigfoot or try to get his attention? You hit the tree with a stick?
We do howls, we do whoops, we do calls. We also do tree knocks. Usually I use an axe handle.
That'd be a tree knock, I think. Mm-hmm. Okay.
What kind of calls?
Whoops
and howls.
And what about the feeling is that Bigfoot leaves like strange, the way he sets sticks up. He has it seems so weird to me.
And arches.
Yeah, why does Bigfoot do that, or why is it believed that Bigfoot does that?
If you talk to different Indian tribes throughout history, they've bent trees, and then between tribes they would know, okay, there's been a family of four that came through here. We're assuming that the Bigfoots are doing the same thing. They leave arches to show different pathways. They leave stick structures as bigger ones would be shelters, smaller ones would be like road signs.
Now, Sasquatch is fearful of people, but aren't you scared that maybe the calls drive him away? I mean, maybe he's like, oh my God, that's a human.
What's up with Sasquatch?
That's a human impersonating me. I'm out of here.
Right, that's a very good possibility. And we've had what we assume that to happen, where you're getting some action, you're getting wood knocks back and forth between two different groups, and you can hear them, and then you'll try to knock back or you'll try a howl, and then everything just goes quiet, and it kills your night.
Oh. Yeah, it's always the knock back is always another group looking for Bigfoot, right?
Sometimes it has been. I'm not gonna say, oh no, every time it's Bigfoot. No, it's every once in a while you run into another group out there or another person out there that's doing it.
It seems like if this guy's out there, he's ridiculously elusive. Now, he's like 9 to 12 feet tall, right? He's a biped.
Six and a half to nine feet tall.
Oh, 6.5 to 9.
Six and a half to 9 feet.
Okay, he's got size 24 feet or something like that.
Like Bob Lanier.
He's ridiculous. Yeah, he's got bigger feet than Bob Lanier. And for some reason, no one can ever see him. Why? How is this guy so elusive? I mean, is he camo colored or something?
Well, it's not so much that no one can see him, because there's been sightings. There's been people that have had almost face-to-face sightings. They've been caught looking through windows. The problem comes in, everybody's like, well, with all these cameras, you got to be able to get a good picture of it. Well,
why are the pictures always grainy? They're always grainy.
Well, here's the thing. If you walk through your front yard or through your neighborhood, walk through your neighborhood, right, and when a squirrel runs across the road in front of you,
yeah,
try and pull your phone out and get a picture in the first 5 seconds.
Oh, wait till he stops.
No, but if I sat by the side of the road with my phone trained on it, I'm sure I could get a picture of him.
Right, and video. When you're...
Is Bigfoot fast? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, if I'm walking in the woods and Bigfoot walked by, I might not get a video of him. But if I was out there hunting him and waiting for him, I think I might be able to.
Are you saying he's...
If you had a good idea where he was going to come in at, if he could come in from anywhere, your chances are a little slimmer.
All right, Rich, are you acknowledging that Bigfoot is elusive?
Yes. Okay. Yes, Bigfoot is very elusive.
Do you think he's fast? I mean, if he's a like 9 foot biped, he could run like a 3.5 40 for
us. Three bipeds for you now.
Sign him up.
Thank you.
Yeah, he'd everything I know sign him? Is that they are very fast.
No, wait though. Wow. They'd have to mate, right? So
there has to be a species of Bigfoot. That's why a lot of people feel there is no Bigfoot, right, because so there's not just one.
What's the gestation period? Because that Bigfoot lady's not going to be that fast if she's pregnant.
Wow, that's a great point. Yeah, what about a pregnant Bigfoot?
You think they would hunker down?
Yeah, you would think they'd hunker down, maybe a cedar swamp, something like that.
Yeah.
The biggest question that I have is, because of my background in hunting, is all animals have somewhat of a home range. I'm working towards trying to figure out what a home range is for a Bigfoot.
Oh, like how far they travel?
Right.
You think that Mama Bigfoot, though, if she's pregnant, she'd be laying out somewhere, and Bigfoot would be sort of patrolling the area, and he couldn't just run away.
You're going to come across the pregnant Bigfoot, and then he's going to come by and just devour you.
Or just hit me on the top of the head like the gopher game.
What percentage chance are you certain that Bigfoot exists?
I am 90% certain that Bigfoot
90%?
Exists.
Where are the bones? Haven't they ever? Do they bury their deceased like we do as humans? I mean, how come we never find any bones?
It's a great question.
Okay,
they have a funeral. Bigfoot funerals.
Yeah,
or maybe they cremate them and spread them.
It's something I started to look into early on.
Spread their ashes.
How many bear carcasses have hunters ever found in the woods? Not many. Same thing with mountain lion carcasses.
But some.
What do the bears do when bears die? Do they bury them, or do they cremate them?
You've never been to a bear funeral?
No,
quite sad.
They die in,
especially when they're cubs.
They die in cedar swamps. They die in very acidic soil, so the bones don't last as long.
Wait, how do they always manage to die there?
Because they run and look for cover when they're dying.
What if there's no way like that?
When a hunter shoots a deer doesn't run out into the middle of the field or back to the guy's truck for him. It runs down into the deepest, darkest stuff it can find.
Gets away. It tries to hide.
Right.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Because they think it's injured.
Do you know I saw a dead bear the other day?
You did?
Yeah, on the side of the road on Route
80. A dead bear?
Dead black bear.
Rich, do you believe Tom when he says that?
How do you know it's not a baby Sasquatch, Tom?
It was a black bear.
I believe it.
You believe him? Okay.
It was in Ohio, Pennsylvania. It was like in the woods of Pennsylvania, coming out of the Nittany Mountains.
How close to the road was it?
Right there. Like if we weren't going so fast, we might have pulled over just to see what the heck.
Do you think it just passed away there, or do you think a car hit it?
I'm not sure.
Car hit it.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, because it would have gone to some acidic area, right?
Right. I've seen bears get hit on the highway by semis.
I believe in using new knowledge.
And then they still try to get off the highway.
All right, stupid question. How come Sasquatch has never been hit by a car?
I'm sure they have. There's evidence where people who have hairs collected off their cars where they've grazed one or bumped one. There's other cars that have been totaled.
Yeah.
Really?
Once you get into some of the reports, yeah.
And then they say it looked like some 9 foot biped. It was crazy.
Biped,
And then their insurance company says, you're crazy.
Well, maybe they're using the, you know, bipedal Sasquatch as an excuse for the accident.
Yeah, they're hammered or something.
Yeah.
But then you wouldn't, I don't know. Well, that's wild. You know, this is a great subject, and I got to say, I think you raised more interesting questions.
How do you catch one? If you do see them, how do you get them? What, I mean, what's your plan?
Just get a picture.
Befriend them.
Yeah, my plan is picture some kind of photographic evidence that when, depending on who we're out in the field with, we've got people who have infrared, like FLIR units, that have recording capabilities. We've got night vision with recording capabilities.
It'll be grainy, no matter what.
What about those motion detectors?
Cameras running all the time.
Yeah, the motion detective cameras that hunters use. Yep, father-in-law has a sweet one. Catches bears on it all the time.
How about a sleep dart?
Yep.
You going to use a sleep dart?
I'm not going to use a sleep dart. I'm not going to put out the money to buy a tranquilizer gun and then have to guess on how much tranquilizer I need to
just shoot it.
Hit something off that's that big.
Who cares if it lives? Just shoot it.
Oh, I mean, as fast as he is, he'll track you down in no time.
It's Sasquatch, for crying out loud. Just kill it.
Mark.
What?
Okay, nice. Wait. Hold on. Sasquatch. On your just kill it thing, what happens if his DNA turns out to be more man than animal?
Yeah,
Mark. Well, what if he kills?
I don't think there's a legal precedent for half man DNA.
Now you murdered somebody, didn't just kill an animal.
I got to say, that might be worth the risk.
20 to 30 for manslaughter for Mark.
You'd go down in history as the guy that found Bigfoot.
No, you'd be down as the guy in history who killed a man.
Half man.
Right.
More man than half man. Bigfoot.
Half man. You only serve half the time.
There's been people that have claimed to have shot them, and they're not so well liked.
Are they in jail?
They don't have the DNA to prove.
No, exactly. So just kill it. Right. I mean, you'd be the guy that found Bigfoot.
We want Bigfoot alive. We want to see him. We want to be friends.
After you kill him out and take
he's part of our species. We want to get to know him.
Of course,
integrate him.
Make sure you return
special ed.
Make sure you return the body to the other Bigfoot so they can have the proper burial.
Yeah, so they can have the
the cremation.
My thing is to answer questions for myself and then to get them recognized by science. And I'm not going to, and no one in my organization is going to kill one to do that.
I think having a body would be huge for science.
You bet they do.
BLM?
What if you just catch it and trap it? Do you think you can trap it?
It's flesh and blood, so it can be trapped.
Okay. It's like a $6 million man, though. He'd get out any trap, wouldn't he?
It's a good possibility that anything we build, it's just going to split in half and walk away from.
That would be amazing.
Wow.
Why? We can trap elephants.
Yeah, but Bigfoot is a biped. Oh,
those are quadrupeds.
Elephants are quadrupeds.
I'm just looking for bipeds.
Well, we trap bears all the time, right?
Hey, Rich, this is a fascinating subject. I really appreciate your time, and I definitely want to stay in touch and find out how your progress goes. And are you guys looking for funding if anybody wants to help you guys fund your search for Bigfoot?
Yeah, we'll always take donations. We do sell T-shirts on our Facebook page.
Sweet.
Most of our T-shirt money we turn around, though, and put right back into, we make donations to the state parks and to local charities that deal with getting kids out.
Who are you dealing with on the T-shirts?
It sounds revenue stream.
T-shirts, we've been getting them through Custom Ink, but
Well, it's the Upper Peninsula Bigfoot Sasquatch Research Organization. If anybody's looking to get an address or donate, send them a check.
Yep.
Or buy a T-shirt.
Everything is all right there on our Facebook page, all the contact information.
What's the Facebook page listed under? Is it Upper Peninsula Bigfoot Research Organization?
It's Upper Peninsula Bigfoot Sasquatch Research Organization, or if you're typing it in as a URL, it's facebook.com/UPBSRO.
BSRO. Great. Hey, Rich, good luck.
I hope you find them. I really do.
All right. Thank you.
Nice talking
to
you.
Man.
Nice
bye
talking
bye.
To you guys.
See you, Rich.
Bye.
See ya. Bye-bye.
How cool would that be if you found him?
Be awesome.
Why do you want to shoot him?
Oh, come on, though.
Yeah, Mark, you want to take out fellow man?
Half man. We don't even know. We don't even know the DNA makeup.
I was not expecting that answer, by the way.
Probably nicer than you.
Couldn't you just say, I thought it was a bear?
I think
what's
so.
What's this 9 foot? Wait, what man has been 9 feet tall?
I mean,
I think that's a reason.
Get him on a basketball team. Why is somebody recruiting this guy?
How about me seeing a dead black bear the other day?
Can't shoot
that's
from the
wild.
Outside.
That's something. I never saw one.
Terrible
He doesn't have to. He dunks everything. You just throw it into him.
I've seen Harry and the
it's
Hendersons.
Alley-oops all game. Where did you see a bear, Maz?
In Pennsylvania on driving to 80, driving to Jersey.
How far from the road?
Right there.
He must have been hit by a car, right?
He had to have been.
Jesus.
Did the girls care?
They were sleeping.
Yeah, of course.
Would you have told him that he was just taking a nap?
I would have. I would have. I'm like, I saw him move, girls. I saw him. They would have felt a lot better.
They're old enough to know.
No, but I want to know. I want to say to myself that he was taking a nap. That broke my heart.
You think bears commonly take naps by the highway?
The girls are having the same conversation right now. Just tell Dad he saw him move.